In our spotlight, the GOP convention in Milwaukee kicks off just 1 week from today. The Republican National Committee drafting a 2024 platform that may usher in changes to the party's longstanding positions on key issues like abortion, same-sex marriage, and immigration. Sources tell ABC News former President Trump called into a meeting with party officials today to express his approval of a draft for a new Republican Party platform that, while not finalized, is expected to align closer to Trump's ideology. This as former President Trump seeks to distance himself with Project 2025, a policy and personal platform that would dismantle some federal departments, impose sharp limits on abortion access, and give the president more power over the federal workforce.
All right, so that's a report from ABC. And this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Yes, the Republican platform is really making the news. They published the draft of the platform yesterday afternoon. That's Monday, as I'm talking to you, Monday, July the 8th. And so it's different. The version on life and abortion and other things has changed, and there's a lot of distress about that. And we're actually going to take it head on today in this discussion. What's going on there? And what's going on there? And what does that mean to all of us? We'll get into a discussion with a guy who's been with the RNC for years and has a lot of insight. He's a strong believer, a good friend of mine, Chad Connolly from South Carolina. So we'll talk to him in just a few minutes. Well, speaking of life, we care, of course, a great deal about life. That's why this discussion of the platform and the Republican platform has always been so strong, well, at least since 1976, on the sanctity of human life. And so it's an issue because through the political system, we've managed to stop abortion to a great extent. We've done it through laws and through changing people's minds, hearts and minds through the decades that I've been following this. But now things are changing. And so that's why I believe that preborn is the best way for, I'm not saying don't do the other, I'm not saying don't do politics and work through the system, I'm not saying that. But honestly, the most effective way to spend your money, if you want to save babies' lives, is preborn, because they circumvent all of the complications and they simply show the mom a picture of their baby in utero. And most mothers, when they see that, it touches their hearts and they cannot bring themselves to go through an abortion. And that's just the truth. So if you want to help, this could be your pro-life stand today. You know, your response to the frustration of what we're going to talk about. If you go to preborn.com/Sandy, that's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. Again, it's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you know, you can call us at 662-821-2040, 662-821-2040, or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen on any podcast platform. You can find us on social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Just look for Sandy Rios 24/7. And you can listen to the podcast through AFR.net, which is our home base, American Family Radio. Or you can go to Apple or Spotify. Or if you really want to make it easy, go to sandyrios.com and you can click on the link and go right to the show. So that's the best, that's the explanation for all of those nuts and bolts. Today we're talking about this platform. What happened? What did they write? What did they leave out? We'll do that discussion on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Monday, the RNC Platform Committee approved the party's platform before it heads to the convention floor next week.
I think that from the historical perspective, a platform is very important.
The platform highlights 20 issues: immigration, the economy, taxes, and crime. It does not include a national abortion ban, something many pro-life Republicans were counting on.
It's very significant whenever a party does something that's sort of out of the ordinary.
The platform reads in part, "We will oppose late-term abortion while supporting mothers and policies that advance prenatal care, access to birth control, and IVF." UWM Professor Emeritus Mordecai Lee says it's vague.
If you're the Republican Party and you want Donald Trump to win Wisconsin, you want fuzziness.
Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, calls the platform unbecoming. He says during Monday's meeting, delegates had no time to look it over before a vote was called. On the other hand, some Republican voters in Wisconsin are happy about the platform's wording when it comes to abortion.
I'm hoping that we'll pull in more votes for the Republican Party.
Democrat voters call it dishonest.
The more vague Republicans keep their actual intended policies, they can garner in more of the undecided, more centrist voters.
As for the undecided Wisconsin voters, Lee says,
you really have to face a decision. Am I a single-issue voter?
All right, Sandy Rios with you, and that's a report from ABC. And yesterday, as I'm talking to you on Monday, exactly, the platform committee for the Republican National Committee released at least their draft of the platform. Now, why is this important? Many of you are, you care about what's happening in elections, but you are not involved, nor you do you understand the nuts and bolts of parties, whether it's Democrats or Republicans. And the reason it matters, though, is because the platform is the standard. As you can imagine, the platform states what the party believes in. And I would like to say that back in 2016, I remember that the Republican platform was just stellar in protecting life and protecting natural marriage, strong defense. And when you compared it to the Democratic National platform, there was such an incredible contrast, supporting abortion for all 9 months, all of the things that we know, gay marriage. There was a sharp contrast, and people could see what the party stood for. Well, what happened yesterday? What happened? What happened to the platform on marriage? What happened to the platform on abortion? The press is talking about this now, and most of you will hear about it, so we have to talk about it. Usually this is internal party dealings, and we can't really do much about it. But Chad Connolly is the founder and CEO of Faith Wins. He was the Republican National Committee's first ever national director of faith engagement, and he held that in 2016. He is largely responsible for the incredible turnout of evangelicals in that election. He spent two terms as the chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party, and since that time, he's traveled to 43 states and spoken to more than 82,000 pastors and faith leaders about the importance of pastoral leadership in the public square. And so I've asked Chad. Chad knows all about this, and I've asked him to join us this morning. Good morning, Chad. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Sandy Rios, you're a hero, and I'm just honored to be with you. Yeah, last time we met, we were at Trump Tower in Chicago having a great conversation about where our nation was headed, right?
Yes, it was pretty exciting times. Yeah, we were pretty optimistic and happy. It was a beautiful setting, a beautiful night in Chicago. I'll never forget that. But Chad, much has changed. Now, you were right front and center involved in the Trump reelection campaign in 2016. What are you doing now? Are you involved in any way?
Yeah, I'm actually involved in. I'm wearing multiple hats, and there's a lot to unpack about the platform. So when I left the RNC in 2017, I guess I'm one of the only senior staffers not to go work in the Trump White House. And I'm a small town guy. You know my story. We had lost our I was remarried, and I'd lost a spouse to suicide, and Dana and I, who had lost her husband to suicide, were putting a new family together. I didn't want to live in D.C. But along with
Smart
that,
man.
I felt like the real way to take our country back is get pastors to do their Matthew 5 salt and light obligation to go out and reach this arena, the public arena, not to ignore it. And so I started Faith Wins then, and I'm more convinced than ever if we just got pastors and faith leaders and Sunday school teachers and deacons and elders to go do their part. I mean, we've got 30 to 40 million non-voting Christians, Sandy. And I think what all this highlights, there's no doubt we as Christians didn't get everything we wanted out of this platform. There's no doubt that the 2016 platform that we won on was probably the most pro-family, pro-conservative platform in all of modern political history. There's also no doubt that there's a political side and the pragmatic side that shows how much work we have to do. Let's face it, there are not a lot of people in the biblical worldview who are living in that political orbit. And so the people who advise even Republicans on our side will always work to try to water down and diminish what we know are standards that are ongoing and everlasting. I was not at the platform meeting, and listen, I don't talk to any Christian, any pastor who thinks the country can deal with another 4 years of these disastrous policies that whoever's running the Biden administration are pushing on America. Nobody wants that. And so the political sense of the consultants is, well, the Christians have nowhere to go. That may be true, but there's also no question. I've been on the phone nonstop for the last 72 hours. I saw this coming. I saw the process being not only streamlined, but really diminished and restricted. You know, we're the party. I'm a delegate to the Republican National Committee. As you said, I've been a state party chairman, but as a Christian first, I want to honor time-honored processes. I think those matter. I want to stand for those. I want to stand for life, biblical marriage, Israel, religious liberty, etc. And so I think from a pragmatic side, what you've seen is the political class exerting their will over pro-lifers. So it just highlights for me how much work we have to do.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of what the contrast is in just a second. But I want to point out that according to stats, pro-life Catholics and evangelical Christians make up the largest single GOP voting bloc. And that's why this is a very, very big deal. And so many of us think it was very foolish for the powers that be that are heading Trump's reelection campaign to make this kind of a move. And as you said, I've heard others say, there's this great feeling that it operated much like our Congress now, where this was rushed in. And people that, as I understand it, Chad, people that were strongly pro-life and pro-family, there was an effort to not get them elected to positions to the committee. So some of them lost their seats. So there was a whole process that went to this. And I just want to say that my good friend, I'm sure she was yours too, Phyllis Schlafly, was a dear friend of mine.
Yep.
And she poured her heart and soul into this Republican platform. Now, that's not a reason. We don't do it for a person. But she came out with a platform that you could be so proud of. Chad, do you remember that? The Democratic platform, I recall, didn't they even say there was... there was no mention of God, or there was something they said.
Oh, they booed God, Sandy. They booed God in their platform hearing and their convention. I think that was in 2008. And so we've seen the downhill trajectory. Listen, I was kicked off the platform committee. I was elected by my delegate friends, and there were mid-level consultants who worked to keep me off. And it ain't about me. It's not about me at all. That happened in 20-something states. We can confirm they kept pro-lifers off the platform committee, totally stacked the deck. And look, I'm in politics. I had lies told about me. It's really amazing what happened in South Carolina, these consultants. I think they were given some high-level directive in these states, put Trump loyalists on there. Good grief. How can I not be called a Trump loyalist, but I run a 501c3, so my C3 doesn't endorse. But the fact I've been involved in Republican politics, and as you said, I worked my tail off to get the guy elected. I think his policies were fantastic, and I sure want him back as president. That goes without saying. That's just silly. But the consultants worked to keep people who were committed to pro-life principles and biblical principles off that platform committee. And Tony's statement probably says it well. It was unbecoming of who we are as a party. Now, on a political strategic side, probably a better word, streamlining those comments, I loved Newt Gingrich's Contract with America, 10-point plan. I see this as that, you know, I think there's 20-point plan. It's a postcard. But I always want our platform to stand for enduring principles. They last. People can look to what we stand for. I think on the political side, their calculation is the Christians have nowhere to go. They're going to shave off some percentage. But what I've told all those people in that political world, the consultants, the RNC, is, listen, this is your base. And what happens when you depress that base? They may go vote for you. But I can tell you, I've probably talked to or gotten emails or texts or phone calls from 1,000 pastors in the last, 72 hours. And this is it's depressing to them. It's shocking to them. And so what happens is when the base gets deflated, they may go, vote for you. They won't work for you. I talked to a pastor this morning, Sandy, church of a few thousand. And he said, this makes it hard for me. This makes it really hard. And yeah, my people may go vote, but how do I go push them to go vote? And so here's, I think, the bigger sense that we as Christians need to take away from this. And I'm writing a statement now. I'll get it out today. This should focus us on our bigger picture. And that is, we work every day at Faith Wins to increase Christian influence in the public arena. This highlights how much work we have to do. Because the left the left panders to their base. And it looks like there are too many people on our side that do their best to diminish our base or put them down or do things that are in direct violation of what the base wants. That's the big picture for me, is this shows why I go travel all over the country to build relationships with pastors. And listen, even though I'm a state party, former state party chairman, I'm a delegate to the convention next week. Nobody can question my Republican credentials. But I talk to pastors every day, and I think I help more on the outside than the people on the inside can do. And I told people at the highest level, one reason the consultants don't like me is I prove that what we're doing actually works, and I can do it for a fraction of the cost. And all we know about these political consultants, Sandy, is they make a ton of money. They still make the money whether they win or lose. And they left 40 million non-voting Christians last time, 40 million. And they had $1 billion. They can't reach them. You know what reaches them? Issues and pastor relationships. And that's what I focus on.
Well, and they don't have grassroots. The consultants don't have grassroots, and neither do the party donors, and neither do the muckety-mucks. And they're embarrassed by the abortion issue, and they see what happened in 2020. And the election where the Republicans, because of the consultants and the moneyed class, were muted in their response to the rabid pro-abort movement, where they were outrageous, accusing Christians of all kinds of things, and nobody responded and defended, and they saw what happened in some races, and so it was an affirmation that, we are right about this. We can't talk about it. We can't embrace it. The truth is we could have responded to it powerfully. And that because the consultants, they did not, and some candidates didn't have the courage to do it on their own. But I think, Chad, we should certainly talk about the specifics of what the platform says about life and abortion, because otherwise people need to make up their own minds about this. I want to say that in 2016 and 2020, the platform that Phyllis shepherded through, it said that there would be a support of a federal ban on abortion after 20 weeks. The party would support that, and they called for states to pass the Human Life Amendment, which would amend the Constitution to say that life begins at conception. And also it said the unborn child has a fundamental right to life which cannot be infringed. Okay, now these words, this is kind of a puzzle to hear it. You have to kind of study it. And if you're not an attorney and we're not doing legal language, but in some ways every word here counts. And so this convention, can you tell us in your own words? I've got the words in front of me, but Chad, what's the contrast here? What do they say about abortion and babies in the mother's womb?
Well, and I honestly, I haven't read it because I've been on the phone with pastors all over the country who probably read more than I have, to be honest with you. The contrast in us and the Democrats is still stark. There's no question about that. I know some national groups, National Right to Life and Susan B. Anthony List, put out statements that were favorable because it kept 14th Amendment protections. I think the key for the Tony Perkins of the world, the me and you, is this is the first time since 1976 that the pro-life trajectory was bent backwards instead of forwards on the platform. I think that's probably a pretty fair assessment. And look, Tony's Perkins did some polling, and I think 80% of the people follow the platform. I think for me and you and for my purposes at Faith Wins, I don't have a lot of pastors who will endorse a candidate at any level. They just don't. They're trying to reach people who disagree with them, so they fundamentally disagree with the idea of endorsing publicly. But what they have done is they've used the platforms as a contrast. And so what I'm hearing from pastors over the last couple of days, 3, 4, 5 days, is what if they take this out of my hands? How do I point to the differences? And so I think they're still going to be able to point to the differences, but it certainly won't be the bold colors that Reagan asked us when he spoke about the platform in 1976. And he said we ought to be bold with this, not shallow pastels and not faded looks, but we ought to be bold about our platform statement and what we stand on. So I think that pastors are still going to be able to use a platform comparison, but it certainly won't be as bold as it has been in the past.
Well, just a practical problem is, since it's true what you just said about pastors, and because of the law that was passed in the 1950s that said the churches could not endorse candidates, basically that was the bottom line of it, although that's been challenged, but they haven't been endorsing candidates, but they have been using voter guides to their congregations. Well, this makes it really tough to have a voter guide that makes a distinction on the issue of life.
I talked to a pastor this morning with a few thousand in his church, and he said that very thing, Sandy, is they're making this hard for me to go out there and be bold. Most of the pastors I deal with won't endorse a party or a candidate, but what they'll do, they'll say, I'm taking my pastor hat off. Here I am standing in the pulpit, and as an individual citizen, blank name, here's who I'm voting for and why. And when they do that why part, they lay out the platforms. Here's why. It's because they signed on to what they believe in. I think what Tony Perkins, who was in the room, David Barton, our friend, was in the room, what they were most concerned with is, how are we going to say we're the party of transparency and we shut down debate and we don't allow phones in the room and we don't allow media in the room? So those are the bigger picture things I think we need to really focus on. And what I'm going to talk about, and everywhere I go, I tell people, they'll say, oh gosh, politics is a dirty business. Yeah, it really is. And when you see stuff like this go on, what it highlights for me is there's not enough Christian influence in it. And we get frustrated and mad. I know I told a MSNBC person one time that got my title and came up and was interviewing me at the March for Life, and she said something to the effect, you Christians, how do you get involved in such dirty business? Doesn't this offend you? And I said, no, I've been to deacon meetings. And, of course, she didn't know how. she had no idea.
Our church business meetings.
The deacon meetings in my little Baptist church in South Carolina are probably some of the most animated things I've ever been in my whole life. So, this just shows me we got a lot of work to do, and the political class doesn't share biblical worldview in a lot of instances. I think most of them own a Bible, but they don't interact with it except to dust it, is in my opinion. I've said that many, many, many times. And so for me, this is our fault. As Christians, this is our fault. When we get frustrated and then you turn around and look at Barna's numbers, that there's 30, 40, 45 million non-voting, about a third of those are not registered, but 40 to 45 million non-voting Christians, this is our fault, Sandy. That's what I work to fix every day.
Well, here's the irony. Look, I fancy myself to be a political analyst. I've been at it for such a long time. So they are running a tight race, and they have just offended their largest base, largest block of voters, and their activists, by the way, too, the ones that get out and knock on doors. So they've really done something very, very serious here. And they are expecting, the theory is, if they kind of do the middle ground on abortion, then all of those screaming females who have been, you know, out of control, out of their minds about the imagined horrors of having a Republican president who doesn't embrace the abortion the way they want to see it for all 9 months for any reason. So they're going to come over because we have a friendlier platform. I mean, how many people, honestly, Chad, when you think about the people that you have, why would you, it's like a crap, I'm sorry, I'll use a, my dad used to shoot crap, so I know that word. That's like a crapshoot. It's like, yeah, we've got voters that we can be sure of, huge amounts of voters we can count on. They're the ones that are being polled, but we're going to like, we're going to risk offending them, depressing them, in order, out the outside chance that there might be some of those women who will think, oh, you know, I think I'll come over and vote for the Republicans because they have a friendlier platform to women on abortion. I just think it's silly. I don't think it makes sense.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying a little bit ago, too, is I've told a bunch of them I thought it was a political miscalculation, just an unforced error. You know, I think when, by going through it fast, they believe, oh, it'll be off of people's minds and we'll focus them. And I, you know, I get that thinking. I've sat in the rooms with those people. But they most political consultants, and I won't broad brush all, that's not fair. Most political consultants don't share our worldview. So they don't share the idea of convictions. They want to win, win, win. Look, I do too. I want to win. I don't like losing, but I don't like losing fundamental issues either. And, you know, it, like I said, it just highlights us on how much work we have to do. If somebody doesn't share a biblical worldview, I just finished Barna's book on his worldview summary, and it's stark. And it's not surprising that they don't share our worldview. There's people in our churches that don't understand and share our worldview. There are pastors that don't understand and share a biblical worldview and make apology for it. And so I shouldn't be surprised. My wife said, you know, they're acting just like unbelievers should act. And that's the way we ought to see it, is we got to reach people for the Lord and change hearts and minds. But you're right. If you only look at this politically, it looks like just a bad move, because instead of, you know, suppressing debate and getting through it fast, what they've created is people talking about it. And now there are more people informed about, oh my goodness, they backed up on the platform. They've streamlined it, which I think people are going to like that. I think that they'll appreciate holding the Fourth Amendment, but that trajectory is the thing I think our people are going to be looking at, and I don't believe the consultants bought into that. I just don't believe they understand or grasp that conviction that you and I have that these issues matter.
Well, you know, the problem is, as with other things, they talk to each other. They live in a different world. They have their head in a different bubble. They don't live in the real world, and that's the problem. But I do want to, before we end our conversation, and I'm not quite ready to do that if you're not, but I want to read what this platform actually does say. It says, we proudly stand for families and life. We believe that the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States guarantees that no person can be denied life or liberty without due process, and that the states are, therefore, free to pass laws protecting those rights. After 51 years, because of us, that power has been given to the states and to a vote of the people. We will oppose late-term abortion while supporting mothers and policies that advance prenatal care, access to birth control, and in vitro fertility treatments. It's just kind of an, that's odd. It's odd to me. Because if you're going to let the states decide, why weigh in on late-term abortion?
Yeah, one of the legacies of Trump will be overturning Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs decision, right? And
yes,
they signal to a lot of people that their platform that they were writing behind closed doors was going to reflect Dobbs. That's what it does. But you're right. You pointed out the discrepancy there. We've always known that politically this would be a fight in the states, right? But we believe that life is a human right endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And liberty and pursuit of happiness mean nothing, as our buddy Bob McEwen says, if you're not alive, if you're dead. And so life was the first right. It's not just a state's right. It may be decided in the states. It's a human right. And we reflect that because it's a biblical worldview. And our founders wrote it in our nation's birth certificate. So while I've heard for years, we need to streamline, need to streamline. I always envision that as a, here's our pocket version, truncated down. Here's what we're going to focus on. These are our focus points. I obviously like to see a platform that was, these are enduring principles. These are ongoing. These last. And I think that's what changed. That's the big part.
We don't need a platform of pandering principles. Right. Honestly, that's not inspiring. This is the you know, the cat, the tail wagging the dog. I don't like that. I just don't like it. But all right.
They've made it harder for us.
So, Chad, help us understand, because that, as I understand, was the draft. That's the draft that they released. So this does this go to the whole convention to ratify then?
Yeah, they'll Tony Perkins is filing a minority report that he disagrees with it. We'll see how that shakes out. But the cake has been baked. That'll be a determination of the chair, whether or not it passes when it's brought up at the convention. And it'd be very hard to overturn that draft at this point. Very, very hard. And I don't know. Tony seemed to indicate yesterday he wasn't even sure if he had the votes to get a minority report even filed within the platform committee. So there's a lot of dust to settle yet. And I just don't know that anybody's going to have enough votes to oppose it in a meaningful way. And they've presented this. They worked hard to put people in the platform room. Goodness, Sandy, they walked around with signs in the platform meeting. Vote yes on this. Vote yes.
Are you kidding?
I've never heard of that. And those were consultants. They let the consultants and the staff have their phones. They were taking pictures of people on their vote. Now, none of the delegates, none of the platform members could have their phones. That's a level of hypocrisy that, you know, I think Democrats would be pretty envious of, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't know if we get into personalities, but my understanding, maybe I shouldn't. My understanding is that there's a person kind of leading this, and the issue is, of course, whether this is with Trump's permission, all of this. I don't think we know that. He certainly, I don't know. I can't imagine him being okay with bullying people like that, because he doesn't do that. That's not his way.
Especially how he's been treated, right? I mean, especially given the way President Trump's been bullied and they've used lawfare against him and shut out his comments and blocked his. I mean, that would a lot of. I think that these are mid-level consultants who've always wanted to take life and marriage out of our platform, and they've always. I've been at every convention since 2004, and this has always been a discussion.
Yes, it has. I know.
This is the first time that trajectory's bent downward. To me, that is the summation of this. It's the first time, and Phyllis, you're right, Phyllis Schlafly gets a lot of credit, and she whipped the votes and everything else. Sandy, they didn't even release the platform itself till yesterday morning. And so a process that usually takes 2 full days and then some was over in like 2.5 or 3 hours. So it was just completely decided and pushed out there. So I'm gonna pivot my people to this is why we work to get Christians involved. You're disappointed? Yep, we all ought to be disappointed in that trajectory being different. We ought to work to get more Christians involved in the process because there clearly weren't enough of them when these consultants made the decisions they did.
Chad, just a clarification here. I know that they worked to get the delegates to that platform committee, as you agreed and attested to because it happened to you, and that many of them didn't go because they got booted or just didn't get elected because of manipulation. So how about delegates to the convention, though? I mean, have they managed to manipulate so that people that are strong social conservatives couldn't be delegates? Or is there going to be good representation?
I didn't see that in South Carolina. I was elected. I think I had the third most votes, and I certainly. But you know, we don't do speeches at that convention level. They might have put up some slates, but like I said, all of our slates were pro-Trump. Every one of us was pro-Trump. Now, certainly, some of us are more pro-life and more committed to biblical values than people who served on committees, and that's where I saw them work. I think that every slate in pretty much every state will be pro-Trump. I mean, ours is Trump, 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 Trump. I mean, there are no efforts to replace Trump, and that would only be their fear, I think, if they'd have done something like that. There are zero efforts. Everybody I know is going there and excited to put Trump back in office over Biden. That's not a question. I did not see that. No, not in South Carolina. I've not heard about that either. But what I did hear about was the committee, the work to keep social conservatives off committees.
Okay, one last question because I don't know the answer. What did they do on marriage, on gay marriage?
You know, it looks like, I have not read it, Sandy. I haven't. I've literally been on the phone from 6:30 in the morning till 10 or 10:30 at night. Since I did that July 4th. I did that on yesterday, on Sunday. I rarely pick my phone up on Sunday. I had so many pastor calls Sunday afternoon before and after church and whatnot that I actually did make phone calls. So I have not read the specifics on marriage, but I would assume that they truncated and abbreviated a lot of that language as well.
Yeah. All right. So, Chad, there are pastors that listen to this show. So how can they find out about Faith Wins and kind of affiliate themselves with you?
Yeah, it's faithwins.org, F-A-I-T-H, faithwins, W-I-N-S, www.faithwins.org. We'd love to have you a part. We go around. I take my buddy Bob McEwen or David Barton, and I just try to tell Christians their role to get involved. And look, my lines come from pastors, right? And they don't necessarily want to be R's or D's. They do want to vote biblical values. And, of course, the Republican Party has more easily, readily lined up with those values for my lifetime. So faithwins.org, we'd love to have them involved. We're going to be all over the country in these next coming months to make sure Christians have a voice and a vote.
Okay, fabulous. Well, Chad, great. Thanks for taking time to talk to us this morning. And I wish you all the best next week at the convention. This is the first convention I haven't come to in years. I just decided not to come this year. So I will, I'll be depending on people like you to let me know what's going on. So.
Well, keep praying, and I thank you for what you're doing and just the long-time service. And if I've done anything, it's been because I've been blessed to stand on the shoulders of people like you. So thank you, Sandy. God bless you.
You're sweet, Chad. Thank you so much. Chad Connolly, faithwins.org. And this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year in 2023, despite the overturn of Roe v. Wade. So people and babies are continuing to be taken for their mom's wombs. It's actually getting more popular, it seems to me. And if the Republican platform is watered down, then the leadership on this issue is becoming weaker. And that leaves you and me, to carry the baton. That's okay. We are not going to give up. We're not going to change our mind or our passion on trying to help moms and dissuade them from doing this. It will be harmful to them, and it certainly will be harmful to the baby. And we're doing that by helping Preborn. Preborn provides ultrasounds to moms who are nervous, upset, not expecting a pregnancy, so that they can actually see their babies. And it can be life-changing. Most of the women decide not to terminate the life of their babies. It's kind of a new beginning for them. And so if you want to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Monday, the RNC Platform Committee approved the party's platform before it heads to the convention floor next week.
I think that from the historical perspective, a platform is very important.
The platform highlights 20 issues: immigration, the economy, taxes, and crime. It does not include a national abortion ban, something many pro-life Republicans were counting on.
It's very significant whenever a party does something that's sort of out of the ordinary.
The platform reads in part, "We will oppose late-term abortion while supporting mothers and policies that advance prenatal care, access to birth control, and IVF." UWM Professor Emeritus Mordecai Lee says it's vague.
If you're the Republican Party and you want Donald Trump to win Wisconsin, you want fuzziness.
Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, calls the platform unbecoming. He says during Monday's meeting, delegates had no time to look it over before a vote was called. On the other hand, some Republican voters in Wisconsin are happy about the platform's wording when it comes to abortion.
I'm hoping that we'll pull in more votes for the Republican Party.
Democrat voters call it dishonest.
The more vague Republicans keep their actual intended policies, they can garner in more of the undecided, more centrist voters.
As for the undecided Wisconsin voters, Lee says,
you really have to face a decision. Am I a single issue voter?
All right, Sandy Rios with you. I wanted you to hear that again. That was the Fox report on the Republican platform being disseminated. We're concentrating on the abortion part today in our discussion. So that person that was interviewed said, and if you're going to run in Wisconsin, you got to be vague. You know, I just want to make a statement right now. I believe that is so false. I believe that's part of the problem in this culture. You persuade. You speak what's true, but you persuade. You say it to people in a way they can understand it. You tell a young girl with purple hair and earrings in her nose, you talk to her about what RU486 does, about delivering the baby, and about the trauma, about the depression. You talk to them in a way that they can understand. You don't say, no, we believe life is sacred, no abortion for any reason. Yeah, there's a way to say it, but you don't not say it. And so no vagueness, no gray area on this issue, just persuading, because we're in the business of changing people's hearts and minds, and that's the only way you can prevail on any of these issues. My husband, my sweetheart, has joined me to discuss this. Honey, you've been listening, and I bet you have a lot of observations about what we've been saying.
Well, there's no one that can speak to the morality part of this issue than you, honey. And I think you've made it clear that any type of abortion is a murder, and it should not be supported. Now, because I believe that. Now, I want to approach the quote-unquote the political or the practical side of this. This is where the problem comes for us as Christians. Political consultants really sway these political parties. You know, they tell them, look, if you take this position, you'll win. If you don't take this position, you'll lose.
Because we have polling.
Because we have polling. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned in the interview, these consultants, I don't find them useful for the most part. They do not reflect our values. They, you know, they're there for the money. And you'll see people, I'm just going to say it, you'll see people like Karl Rove, people of that nature. They're not looking out for Christian values. They're looking at, we want to keep this money coming in, and we want to convince these parties that we are valuable as consultants, and this is what we found. Now, to further expand on that, when it comes to President Trump, I love the positions President Trump takes for the most part. I love his actions. Here's one of the problems that we have to face, though, as Christians. Donald Trump is not what we would call, I don't think he is, a true, solid Christian. And his ego, I think, is leading him on this issue. And, you know, after after Roe versus Wade was overturned and this decision was sent back to the states to decide what the terms for abortion will be, he was proud as a peacock because he had appointed these justices to the Supreme Court and they had really driven this decision. And while it probably is a win in a way, it's only a partial win if we give up and let the states do whatever they want and not push back that abortion is immoral, abortion is murder, and it's okay, you just go ahead and decide what you want to decide.
Yeah, he has to be, he cannot be, the problem is, on the moral issues, he has trouble leading on those. Now, I thought, you know, when he ran in 2016, he did such a great job on the abortion issue. No one had ever been as much of a champion for life as he, including Ronald Reagan. He was bolder than any of them. He's the one that, you know, confronted Hillary Clinton about the baby, you know, and the gave a graphic description of a late-term abortion on that stage. And no one had ever done anything like that. That came out of conviction of his heart. I believe that's true. Yeah. I believe his instincts, his convictions are correct on this. But he doesn't have... Yeah, I don't. I have never been one to say, you've never heard me. None of you have ever heard me say Donald Trump is a Christian. I know a lot of pastors say that, a lot of people that have met with him. Well, I've met with him too in a group. I wouldn't say that. I don't know. I hope he is. I think there are moments I think he is. There are moments I think he isn't. So I'm not declaring that. But one thing you can be sure, if he is, he's not steady as a rock on these issues. And
And I think I need to be careful when I, you know, dictate whether or not someone is a Christian. Who am I to judge? But I will say this. The problem here, don't look so much at Donald Trump. Look at this statement about the Christians that do not vote. We have, as they said, 40 to 45 million Christians that do not go out and vote. A third of them are not even registered. How can you say you're standing up against abortion when you have a chance to vote and you don't even bother to even register?
Right. It, I know. Well,
shame on those people.
No, I know. And it's not of our listeners. Our listeners have figured this out, that they actually think that God is in all things. And that we have a responsibility, like whether it's running your business or raising your family, God is in all of it, and being a good citizen so that your children can live in peace and cannot be deluged with the immorality that they are awash with and the confusion of the culture. And that happens, even if you don't like it, it happens often through the political system, through laws. We have laws about, we used to have laws that were moral laws. We had laws against sodomy. We had laws against homosexual behavior. We had laws about adultery in the past, too. I mean, there were things, our laws reflected scripture. And as we got more sophisticated, we suddenly decided that, you know, we had sort of bend those laws because people like adultery and certainly people like homosexuality, too. So here we are on abortion also.
Yeah, and, you know, it's always a tough choice. The problem here is if you do not vote and you do not vote for the Republican Party in this election, what's the alternative? And the alternative on the Democratic side is basically abortion
for all nine months
and even post-birth.
I know.
And they will deny that, but it's come out of their mouths that this is what they stand for.
Well, we talked about that this week when we dissected Joe Biden's debate with President Trump, and he said, it's not true. I'm for Roe versus Wade. I'm not for abortion for all 9 months. But I explained, and we'll say again, in case you missed that broadcast, that Roe versus Wade had a companion suit, and it was called Doe versus Bolton. And the minute both of them the decision was made in this court in 1973, abortion was legal for all 9 months. Thus, partial birth abortion, thus the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. There were no protections, and so the states set about to make those protections and put in restrictions. But the Roe versus Wade did not restrict abortion. So he was well, maybe he just was mistaken and not lying that time. But all right. Well, so I think we need to look into the platform more. It just came out, and maybe on a subsequent podcast we can talk about the National Security Platform, the platform on same-sex marriage. But I wanted to talk about and immigration. I honestly don't know. So I will look into it and be more a better verse. But I wanted to do this one on the abortion plank this morning with Chad right away, so you could understand as the news unfolds. So I think that's everything, unless there's something else you wanted to say. All right. I think we're done, and I want to thank you so much for listening. I always do. We really appreciate it. I don't want to, I know it's discouraging, but you know what? I've said this before, haven't I? But I want to say it again. We just watched the John Adams series again on Amazon. And John Adams was the second president of the United States. He and his wife Abigail were very strong believers. And John, really, I think the success of the early days of our republic really, as much as anything, rested on George Washington's shoulders, but certainly on John Adams' shoulders as well. He was a man of integrity, and the price they paid to give us our freedoms is just spelled out in that series so clearly. And look, are you suffering? Those of you listening to me, am I suffering, Bruce? Are we suffering?
We're not
suffering. We are so blessed. So can we not keep working? Can we not give up? Can we work until, you know, we can't do anything else? Until, you know, we drop from the face of the earth, till God takes us home? Can we not do something to leave this world a better place for our children and, you know, and support righteousness and do something about it other than just talk? So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be weary in well-doing. That's what the scripture says. Well, I want to thank our sponsors. Timothy Plan is our new sponsor. You can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition. And honey, thank you for joining me.
I was glad to.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.